December 16 is probably the most unusual day of the year in the Philippines, in the Philippine Church. In the Universal Church, today is simply an Advent weekday. If anything is significant about it, it's the last day of the first part of Advent. The second part of Advent begins December 17. So it doesn't stand out very much. But here in the Philippines, where the novena is so popular, the Simbalabi or Misa de Gallo novena, today is the first day. So it becomes very significant, a day when thousands of people gather for masses very early in the morning and start this sacred time of preparation. So it's unusual, and it's like everything this year, it's even more unusual this year than at other times. I had a Simbalabi Mass last night. Of course, everybody was properly spaced out and wearing their face shields and face masks. There were no children, or few. At the end of the Mass, there was an announcement that the police department or some government authority declared that these Simbalabi Masses are not permitted to anyone under 18 or anyone over 65. People started laughing when they made the announcement, because pretty much everybody there was either over 60, most of them were over 65. So it was a little bit funny, even though it was a blatant violation of whatever that government pronouncement was. Not that I think anyone took unnecessary risks, don't get me wrong. I mean, everybody was really well protected and socially distant. But anyway, so everything is strange this year, as we know. But it's something to reflect on. And perhaps it seems stranger for anyone who's following the daily liturgy, as we do in Arawin, because even the liturgy is different for the first day of the Simbalabi. The Simbalabi Mass has different readings than we have on the ordinary weekday. So even though I had a Simbalabi Mass, it wasn't the same readings as we just heard now. It's a bit of an adjustment. Perhaps Father Francis would be able to weave together the readings of Simbalabi, the readings of the day, Wednesday of the third week of Advent, and tie it all together. I don't have that capability. I'd like to focus on the readings of today. The prophecy of Isaiah that we heard in the first reading stresses the uniqueness of the Lord. He's God, He's the only God, He's the Lord, and there is no other. It's repeated several times throughout the reading. It's a prophetic announcement that we can put our hope in only one source. There's only one Savior, it's the Lord. But there's also in this reading a curious description of how this gift of salvation comes to us from the Lord. And the fathers of the church picked up on this and made a lot of it. It's this couple of verses. Let justice descend, O heavens, like dew from above, like gentle rain, let the skies drop it down. So justice comes from God, comes from above. But then it says, let the earth open and salvation bud forth, let justice also spring up, as if justice comes from below, comes from us, from man. I, the Lord, have created this. Now, prophetic language is always a little bit difficult to interpret. It's not always obvious what God is saying, but here he's saying that justice comes from above and it springs up from below. It comes from heaven and from earth, from God and from man. And that's puzzling to us. How can it be both? The psalm, today's psalm, Psalm 85, has a similar description of this gift coming from above and from below. Kindness and truth shall meet, justice and peace shall kiss, truth shall spring out of the earth, and justice shall look down from heaven. So this combination of what comes from below and what comes from above. Even the response that we repeated for the psalm, let the clouds rain down the just one, coming from above, and let the earth bring forth a savior, coming from below. So what is it, from heaven or from earth? You know the answer, I'm sure. You know the answer. This is the mystery of the incarnation, the mystery that we will never cease pondering or rejoicing about, that God became man. This very center of the Christmas celebration, God became man. This question, since today's Wednesday and we're in the year of Saint Joseph, I'd like to connect this to Joseph. This is the very question that Joseph had. Well, is this pregnancy of my betrothed from God or from man? How did this happen? The Savior is from God. He is God. God from God, light from light, true God from true God. But he is also from man. He's also Son of Mary. He comes from heaven. He springs up from the Virgin. So it's a combination of divine power and human weakness or humility. Keep this in mind now as we look at what we read about in today's gospel. This is the question that John the Baptist asks of Jesus, or he sends his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one who is to come? Or do we look for another? Remember the prophecy of Isaiah is, I am the Lord, there is no other. I am the Lord, there is no other. So don't look for any others. John says, are we supposed to look for someone else? It's a little hard to know exactly what John himself was thinking, because John is the one who pointed Jesus out in the first place. Behold the Lamb of God. How could he ask? He's the one who said it. Before anyone knew it, he said, this is the one. And some of his own disciples started to follow Jesus after John made that proclamation. But some of his disciples didn't follow Jesus. They were still hanging around John, and maybe John was saying, they didn't get it. So go to him and ask him yourself if he's the one. So they go to him and they say, well, they told us, John told us to ask you, are you the one, or are we supposed to look for another? Jesus answers very, it's a profound answer. He doesn't simply say yes or no. He says, look at what's happening here. The blind regain their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed. Those who are sick are healed. The poor have the good news proclaimed to them. Very clearly, God is at work. Very clearly, the prophecies of Isaiah are being fulfilled. If your eyes are open, you can see there's no doubt that the Messiah is here and he's acting in our midst. But he's not doing it the way people expected. This tendency, we have to be aware of this. We all have this tendency to think that if God is going to act, he's going to do something big, powerful. He's going to overthrow evil governments. He's going to stop the pandemic just because he's going to show his divine power. Yeah, he could easily do that, but he doesn't do it like that. He casts down the mighty from their thrones, but he doesn't do it the way we expect him to. God works with a special concern for the poor, the lowly, the ones who nobody notices. That's why the work of God so often goes unnoticed. Most people don't even ask, is this the work of God? They don't even think of it. At least John is asking, is this the one? Is this the evidence of God present? I think John knew it. But a lot of people didn't know. A lot of people didn't even know whether John was from God. Or if they thought he was from God, they didn't know who's this Jesus. See, God doing his greatest work is still unnoticed or misunderstood. So part of the answer of Jesus here is not only to say, yes, the Messiah has come, yes, he's here, yes, I'm the one, but he's also saying, don't cling to your demands of how God is going to save the world, because he doesn't do it your way. He doesn't fulfill your expectations. We have expectations, yes, and we should. We hope, we have hopes for God, and we know that in the end everything will be resolved. But how he does it, we cannot cling to that. We cannot make our demand the criterion by which we judge the work of God. Let God reveal himself in his own way. The Advent spirit is to prepare the way, to let God come and work. The poor have the good news proclaimed to them. If we are poor, then we have good news proclaimed to us. If we're not poor, we're going to miss it. We won't recognize the great work of God. We won't realize that the heavens, the clouds are raining down the just one even now, and that the earth is bringing forth a savior even now. We won't see it. So let's ponder Jesus' answer to the disciples of John. It's also his statement to us. Blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. Who would take offense at Jesus? Well, anyone who is demanding that God do something differently. Anyone who demands that God come in power rather than as a helpless baby. Anyone who demands that God work on a human timetable instead of a divine timetable. Those are the ones who take offense at him. So let us not be too full of ourselves. Let us be poor so that we can welcome the rain of God, the God coming down like rain, like dew from above, and let us also welcome the humility of the Savior who springs up from the earth.